What's up, brothers? We are back with episode 240 of Two Drug Brothers in a Podcast coming at you. This episode's going to be dropping a little early because we are moving back to our regular Tuesday broadcasts.
Tuesday.
We are coming at you today with some Final Four National Championship stuff. Going to recap some UFL stuff that happened over the weekend. If you didn't watch, you didn't miss a whole lot, but we'll recap it for you. And then we've got some Ethan's trivia extravaganza. Ethan coming at you.
I'm gonna cut you both off for a second. Jarrett, were you just driving a forklift? Like, what was happening there on the other side of the screen?
No, I was changing my desk from sitting to standing. I was standing desk.
I hear the noise, then I look over, and Jarrett's fucking...
He's on a plane with Stephen Hawking to the island. I want to go to the island.
I want to go. Let me go.
All I heard was...
Sorry, I should have done it before we started, but it adds to the character of the episode.
Exactly.
By the way, if you guys don't have a standing desk, highly recommend them. They're amazing.
They do at work.
Yeah, they're super nice.
Sorry. You gonna buy me one?
They're like $80 on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I have other addictions that I need to support. So.
Same.
Exactly. That'll get you like, I don't know.
Have crippling depression.
Four rolls of Zins. So, like I said, this desk, until it falls apart, which it has a few times, but until it completely falls apart, I will be using it.
Did it fall apart on its own accord, or did you beat the shit out of it because you lost a bet?
No, I was trying to pull it like a couple feet to the other side, and the drawer that has all of my sports cards in it fell out, and they just scattered all over the basement. So that was fun.
Definitely damaged some for sure.
Oh yeah. The corners are probably eights or nines on PSA now.
Yeah. I would say I got not one that tens, I actually dropped one time. That was a jersey one. And I was like, oh, this is definitely a seven now. So cool.
Dented.
Yeah.
Nice. But anyway, we're coming at you. Okay. Ethan was frozen for a second. Coming at you. Had the Elite Sweet 16, Elite Eight over the weekend. We've got the now down to the Final Four. 1-11, 1-4. So we had a little bit of craziness. NC State, yeah. Can't complain. Had a little bit of Cinderella-ness going into the Final Four. Let's kick it off. I guess we'll just hop into the first game. NC State versus Purdue, 11-1, spreads 8.5, totals 145.5. How do you guys see this game going out?
How do I see it, or how do I want it to go? Two different things there. I mean, we have bet NC State literally every single game. They've been dogs every single game. I can't not ride the +9. I know Purdue's looked pretty hot down the stretch. Something in me feels that NC State's two big men with DJ Burns and Mo Diarra are going to probably be able to, I guess, I don't know if you could stop him, slow down Zach Edey is the better kind of analysis I have there. I think they can probably limit him a little bit more by getting some bigger bodies, which you don't really see in the college game too much, two big men down low like that. So,
yeah. So one thing that I don't want to see in this game that I'm worried about is the refs controlling the game with fouls. And I'm not saying that necessarily means that they're calling bad fouls, but that maybe they are calling calls that they shouldn't necessarily call or don't need to call, because we see that with Zach Edey every game. And it's hard not to. The dude's so big that if he's putting up a shot, he's probably getting hacked in some way, shape, or form. But when you've got three quality big men in this game, I'd like to just see this game play out, the action play out down low. Yes, there will be fouls called, but I don't want to see 40 of them by the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, but you're probably gonna get that. I don't know a way around it. Refs just love calling fouls for Zach Edey. I mean,
yes, they do
every single game. But either way, I feel like DJ Burns is a bigger body. He's a little bit more athletic as well. He doesn't have the height that Zach Edey has, so that's gonna be tough. But I feel like he's gonna be able to at least limit him more than what we've seen so far.
Did you guys see that? Like, this is legitimate. Like, there are NFL executives that are interested in making him like a swing offensive lineman. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, he's got the footwork already down. He plays basketball. He's got the frame, clearly. So, like Travis said, like he's got a big body, big frame. If they can just put bodies on Zach Edey without, like Ethan said, hacking him, like getting a true body, boxing out, putting their ass on him, then I think NC State stands a chance. And I like NC State because they remind me a lot of the UConn team when they won it all. I'm not saying NC State's going to win it all because we all know UConn's going to, but they remind me a lot of that team just going this historic run, win 5 games in 5 days to win the ACC tournament, and now I've just won every single game. They weren't dogs against Oakland, but, you know, they've almost won every single game as a dog. So, I like them on the 9 for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say to cover for sure winning it. I don't know if they'll get to that point. It's crazy. Their closest game this tournament has come against 14 seeded Oakland. On the other hand, Purdue's kind of handled everybody. They struggled a little bit with Tennessee, but outside of that, they've pretty much taken care of business in all their games. What I find crazy, I saw TikTok last week. Didn't really put two and two together because of the craziness that was conference tournaments, NCAA tournament. But if you guys didn't know, NC State is literally in the Final Four only because of a missed free throw by Virginia.
Yeah. And they're down 3 with 5 seconds left.
Yeah.
And he clunked the free throw. That's the only reason they are here, and that is wild.
Yeah, it just goes to show how crazy college basketball can be. There are a couple of props in this game I like too. I looked at them early. I like DJ Burns over 15.5. It's -105. I mean, I think he's hit this in every single game this tournament. I know it's a little bit stiffer competition with Purdue, Edey down low. Burns isn't a huge shooter, but I like it. I also like Zach Edey under 39.5 points and rebounds. That's -130.
That one I don't like as much. To your point about Burns with his points, yes, it's stiffer competition, but something about DJ Burns and his ability to finish down low. The shots that I have seen him put in the basket that I feel like 80% of other people are not making there during this tournament has just been absurd. Off-balance shots like little hook shots, drop shots, over people at weird angles. So I like those points because I don't care about 7-4. I think he's going to work Edey for the points that he needs. But the 39.5 points and rebounds thing when he just put up 60 is a little scary.
Yeah. My thought, yeah, it's just because the NC State has the two big bodies. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah. He just might get 20 free throw attempts, which.
Yeah.
Right. And from a big man standpoint, Diarra. Big, yes. Big, Edey big, because he's slender. Like, at least Burns has the size to bully him. If Diarra gets on him, different story.
Yeah.
Very different
maybe
story.
Maybe there's a prop for Diarra to foul out, then I might take that too.
Maybe, honestly.
But he might want to take, he could take Diarra, I don't know, 3s, if it's like 1.5 or a half.
He has been shooting.
I don't know who's going to cover him in the corner. Yeah, so maybe take that. Either way, don't really love the total in this. We obviously like NC State to cover. Hope they get it done. Don't think they do, but I'd love to be proven wrong. next game, number 4 Alabama versus number 1 UConn. UConn continues to be huge favorites. 11.5 points totals 160.5. Here's what's It's a big spread, but UConn's smallest margin of victory in this tournament has been by 17 points, and they've outscored their opponents by 111.
Yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. I think who does not let Alabama have to guard Klingon? I don't know if they have anybody.
Yeah, it's a great question. But a lot of their scoring comes on the perimeter. It'll be interesting to see how UConn adjusts to that. I'm sure they will. Obviously, the coaching experience is there. What's going to be weird, though, is the fact that Alabama is known for their offense, but UConn has not let up more than 58 points in this tournament.
What is the over-under on this game?
160.5. I like the under.
I'm almost tempted to say that the over looks good, though, because as much as UConn has dominated on the defensive side of the ball, well, I mean, Illinois was the number two ranked offense behind UConn going into that game. So actually, you know, may not be the worst thing to bet the under, because if they held Illinois to one, first of all, a 30-0 run, then I think I could see them holding Bama to under 60, 65 points.
Even if it's, I mean, because I did like a score predictor based on like this, how much UConn's put up, how much they've let up, how much Alabama's put up and let up. I have it like a 85 to 70. That would still hit the under.
Yeah.
Which is fairly high scoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like the under. I like UConn. I mean, I like UConn to cover, but not going to lay some wood on it. But I do think this is a fairly good matchup for them.
Yeah.
What would a end game 7-point teaser look like for the under and UConn?
You can't do 7.5 point teasers in basketball. It's like the max you could do, I think, is like 5 or 6, maybe. Unless it's a sweetheart teaser.
Either way,
the value wouldn't be a lot.
Yeah.
Either way, I think you'd be better off just betting one or the other.
Yeah.
Rather than hoping that they both hit. So are we going chalk into the championship, Purdue UConn?
As much as I don't want to do it, it's you go ahead, Jarrett. Do you have something else? Do you like NC State to pull it off?
I mean, I'm gonna bet on them to pull it off. Do I think they do it? No, I just think Purdue's got too much offensive weapons, even outside of ED, that NC State, like, I think they're gonna focus all their attention and energy into stopping Zach Edey, and I think that's gonna open up some scoring opportunities for some other guys in their team. And that's going to be their downfall. Ultimately.
Well, and the hard part is this is ultimately where we see a lot of Cinderella teams make their stop. Mm-hmm. We don't often see these. I mean, first of all, have we ever seen a double digit seed in the championship game? I don't know if we have.
No, highest seed's been an 8.
Yeah. So a lot of times we see these teams. We saw UCLA that one year make a run to the Final Four, then they got stopped. The only other one I can think off the top of my head is George Mason back in 06. But now you've got this team. They've been on a hell of a run. They've won 9 straight games. Like Travis said, they wouldn't even be in the tournament had they not had that missed free throw and then banged a 3 to send it to overtime against Virginia. So, like, I really want to root for NC State here. I really do. But I just can't see him pulling this off. And as much as I hate going 1-1 into the championship game, I'm not going to not bet on UConn either. So,
yeah, so – if you want
to
talk about,
it doesn't really matter who wins that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't think so either because, but double digit seeds to make the Final Four. You had 11, obviously this year, NC State, 11 seed UCLA, like Ethan just said, in 2021. Loyola Chicago in 2018 is 11 and seed. They lost to Michigan. Butler in 11, it's not Butler. VCU in 11 lost to Butler. And then George Mason in 2006, and then LSU in 1986 also lost. So, yeah, never been a double-digit seed in the national championship game. So, data shows us that's probably going to be Purdue and UConn. Fun first time for everything, though.
This is the second highest Final Four spread since 2002.
12 or 11.5?
Yeah. I think did Gonzaga play UCLA that year?
Yeah.
It was like 14 was the spread.
So let's do some quick predictions on two different outcomes. What's the spread going to be if UConn plays Purdue? Just guesses.
5.5.
Okay. 5.5, 9.5. What is the spread going to be if UConn plays NC State?
13.5.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be absurdly like way, way higher. I would say at least 10-point difference between Purdue and NC State. I think either way, we're going to see a spread that's just for a championship game that's probably never, maybe not never been seen before, but has not been seen in a while. because I think UConn, again, I said it a couple weeks ago, I don't see them losing a game or winning a game by less than 10 points for the rest of this tournament.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for UConn in that game no matter what. Rooting for NC State in the other game. If they were to win, I would obviously root for them to win it all. Otherwise, I want UConn to win it all.
Now, something that I think would be fun that's definitely not going to happen, but I think it'd be kind of a cool story. What if we saw UConn, NC State in both championship games? Because we could, men's and women's.
Yeah.
Now that would require UConn to upset Iowa, doable, but it would also require NC State to upset South Carolina, which is a much taller task.
Yeah.
Speaking of women's NCAA tournament, what is your guys' thoughts on the 9-inch differential
in
3-point lines?
Talk about just a monumental error by I don't even know who that would be on the court crew or
it's whoever made the court.
Apparently, wherever
they like cut the hole for the basket at the bottom of the court was 9 inches shorter.
So I feel like it falls on multiple people then though, because yes, it falls on the people who made the court, but then somebody's got to check that because I saw a picture of it. It was obvious to the naked eye from the second level of the arena. So how are you not seeing that as an official or as somebody? I'm sure they have people that are walking around and checking things before the game. Maybe they're not checking 3-point line difference, but, you know, checking on stuff. I feel like somebody had to have noticed that or should have noticed that, I should say. Obviously, they didn't. But
well, I mean, they noticed it. They're just obviously not on time and not enough time that they could do anything about it. I think it's crazy that they just went ahead and played a freaking what? Was it an Elite Eight game like that?
Yeah. It's a clear. Yeah, I mean,
how'd they fix it? Because I said they were going to fix it before the
start. They fixed it for the next game, but I'm assuming they just got a new floor.
Well, right. Yeah. You take it apart and you put a new one back together. But my thing is, I guess at the end, it's definitely not fair, but at the end of the day, it's equal because you're getting the same amount of time on both sides of the floor. But if you get somebody in the first half who's just banging threes and go out to a big lead, and then you turn around and, you know, you've got something totally different on the other side, it can definitely cause for some issues. So, yeah, it just to me is just a crazy error on whoever's part.
Yeah.
I think they
both agreed to play on it. So,
don't you think that makes you shoot worse if you're 9 inches closer? Because you're used to, like, I think you'd be a lot of your shots would be long, clanking off the back of the rim.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
good question.
I don't know. I'm not a college basketball player, but I mean, you got to think too. How often are you shooting deep twos from the top of the key?
Right. Not like, very often.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're going to shoot from there. You're going to be back behind the 3-point line.
Yeah.
So, but either way, each team, I just thought it was crazy. Like, and then they showed the difference of them. And like Ethan said, how do you not notice that? But maybe, I mean, you're installing the floor. You're not up high. You're not going to see it.
True. But you think big difference someone when up you're high, right on it.
And there's no press boxes up high. The cameraman, but they're not going to set up till before the game.
Yeah.
So
it was wild for sure.
So
I got that alert. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
They both agreed to play on it. Somebody could have easily protested and said no.
Yeah,
that's true.
I.e. Texas, who shot like 1 of 10 from 3-point that game.
Jesus.
Which you get half the game on the short side though.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? So we've all got UConn, I think, still taking home back to back NCAA titles. I think they're minus 195 now to win it all after they're plus 300 when we recorded last week.
Yeah, should have taken that bet. Should have taken that bet when I had a chance.
They are cruising indeed. So there's the we're going to round out. We've got three more games left of college basketball for the year. We are up in betting. If you're following us there, congratulations. This past weekend, UFL week one kicked off. Initial thoughts. Probably didn't grab the user's eye.
The kicker for fucking Michigan. What's their faces is going to be in the NFL next year.
Yeah.
Michigan. There's no way around it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just
bonkers. I've told Ethan this when I saw. You can't tell me they weren't juicing those balls.
I don't know, because none of the kickoffs went in the end zone, and the kickoffs back further. Like, none of them went in the end zone. He had no touchbacks. Every single kickoff I saw was returned because they backed up the kickoff from the 30 to the 20.
But they separate different balls between, like, they have kicking balls and passing balls. I wonder if they had field goal balls, because you're not getting the extra points. It's just
juicing it or not. The fact he made it twice.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Juicing.
And the second one would have been good from 70.
I mean, it was
what are the odds that we're going to see somebody can fact check me, please do, the longest field goal ever made in a professional football game, week one of the UFL?
Well, Justin Tucker's was 66, but yes, you're right up there. So, okay.
That's
fine. The fact that he did it twice, or 66 or 67, I don't know, Justin Tucker's was very long.
Hey, we made it to the 49-yard line. Let's kick a fucking field goal. How about that?
He literally... My thing is, I think the most logical answer to the question of how the fuck did he make it was, hadn't made a kick since high school, adrenaline's flowing like crazy.
Didn't even play.
And then he somehow just got a perfect fucking perfect kickoff. That's what my guess is.
Yeah, twice. Yeah, twice.
The announcers were like, well, you got to watch the trajectory of it. And they showed the replay. I'm like, unless there's fucking Taco Fall on top of Taco Fall, no one's fucking touching that ball out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that thing got way above the offensive line or defensive line.
Yeah. Also, the defensive line had no shot to block that. Like, the kid did everything perfectly right. That was wild. Outside of that,
that would have been good from 70.
Yeah. That's what Ethan said. Yeah. It was stupid. Outside of that, I mean, the UFL was pretty much what I watched the XFL last year. I think we'll start to see some more competitive games. I mean, the Battlehawks game was the best game all weekend. Every other game was just pretty much dominated, either from the start or slow starts, and then one team took over, a.k.a. The
Battlehawks game wasn't good. Battlehawks game wasn't even good until, 7 minutes left in the fourth. It was horrible up until that point.
That's the way a lot of these UFL games are last year, is the XFL games last year when I watched them, they would start super slow. And then I think because of the rules they have in place, teams kind of kick it into high gear in that late third, beginning of the fourth quarter. Because, you can take more chances. If you're down by two scores, you can go down and get a score and then do the fourth. And it's fourth and 12 now. It used to be fourth and 15. Now it's fourth and 12 conversion, which is much more doable, in my opinion. That's how a lot of these games are. I think it's got some legs. I know their viewership. I don't know. Does anyone have viewership numbers? I forgot to look that up.
But while you look that up, if you're looking it up, one thing that I was going to say is, and something we kind of have to remember, is this is week one for a bunch of dudes who haven't played in a long time. And I say a long time, either haven't played in a couple years, a year, different professional. We might see better product weeks 2, 3, 4. If we don't, then we can start to be what's going on? But I think with week one, dudes are getting their feet wet, really trying to figure things out. The offense outside of practice hasn't ran together, maybe ever. So I think we'll see how it goes moving forward. But that was just my initial thought, too.
Yeah.
Well, surprise, the Battlehawks Panthers game was the most watched game of the weekend. It had about 1.39 million viewers.
Nice.
Not bad. I'd
say that's pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Arlington Birmingham game, which was the first game on Saturday, averaged 1.18 million. I think you got to take the numbers on Sunday with a gigantic grain of salt, considering you're not only competing with Final Four game or Elite Eight games, you're also competing with Easter Sunday. San Antonio, D.C. was 960, and Houston and Memphis was 703. Still pretty solid numbers. It'd be interesting to see how that goes up this weekend, considering that the Battlehawks are going to be competing with prime time Final Four game time, because Battlehawks play at 7 on Saturday night, which is right smack dab in the middle between.
A lot of people that would watch it are going to be there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because in St. Louis. So, but again, everyone, the article I'm reading, everyone said those numbers are pretty impressive for considering the weekend it fell on, March Madness and Easter weekend. I'm excited to see it pan out. So
for those people that are going to be there, yours truly, the three of us will be in attendance. So we'll get to talk about that next week. One thing I didn't see, obviously, as we talked about, the games were kind of boring, some low scoring affairs. The scores range from a total of 30 to 41. The lines are already out for this weekend. Every single game is set at 40 and a half to 41 and a half.
Yep.
So if you're looking to maybe take an edge,
there's one under I love. I love one under this weekend. Do you want me to tell you what it is?
Assuming it's the Brahmas and Showboats.
No, I love Houston and DC under 41.
Okay.
The solid defenses.
Why? Houston scored 12 points last weekend against San Antonio, a team that was not very good last year. And DC also wasn't a low-scoring game. That I just think there's going to be a little – and I'm pretty sure the game's in D.C., and it's an outdoor stadium. So I think you're going to potentially have some maybe – don't know what the weather's like in D.C. I'm assuming it's not super warm this time of the year in D.C. Ethan, you would know that being our resident D.C. person. But, yeah.
It's not like the Midwest, but I mean, it's similar in a way that, I mean, it could be warm or it could be very cold at this time of year. So I don't know. I'd have to just look at the forecast.
Yeah.
Also, like the Battlehawks Renegades under 41 and a half. The Battlehawks had 3 points head in the fourth quarter.
And they have a really, really good defense.
Yeah. The Renegades didn't look super impressive last weekend against the Stallions. So that under is a little promising as well. Kind of weary of spreads this time in the season because these teams are really still figuring it all out.
I do like the Stallions to smack the shit out of Michigan.
The Panthers, yeah.
Yeah, I like -6.5 on the Stallions. Another one that I'm kind of leaning, I'd like the Brahmas to beat Memphis, -1.5.
Your official weather watch, mid-50s to low-60s this weekend.
So not bad weather at all.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Another takeaway, UFL week one, the XFL got the shit kicked out of them. USFL dominated, which is something that we absolutely thought would go the other way. We thought the talent pool was lower and they'd struggle a little bit more. It was not the case. Two things I wanted to touch on. I absolutely hate the fact that it is a college clock rules under 2 minutes and the clock stops. St. Louis would have won. Michigan had the ball, no timeouts, got a first down, clock stopped. They ended up kicking the field goal with 8 seconds left. That 8 seconds wouldn't have been there. I also really do not like the fact that they kick from the 20-yard line. So all these kicks are being brought back out to like the 40-yard line.
I don't hate that as much. I like the fact that the kickoff means something. Well,
I like that it means something, but it would be nice if they were returning the ball from the goal line through the 5 yard line to the maybe the 10, but they're catching these balls at like the 15, 20 yard line and then taking off.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a situation where the Battlehawks were, where, okay, we've got to pin them deep. Nope, just kidding. They took it out to the 38 yard line. They only had to get 20 yards to kick that field goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when you have like, I think it's going to really lean. A lot of these teams are going to find like they need to find a special return guy. Like I know the guy for the Battlehawks is super good. What's his name? He like returned. He returned a pass to 50 twice. But I think both times we did nothing with it. I think we maybe got a field goal once. But I'm just saying, like, I think it's going to lean in people like finding specialists. And I think that's cool because I think those guys will get discovered and maybe land on NFL rosters to become like kick return specialists. So that way,
but it's so different.
It is. I'm talking more like punt return wise for NFL or that's something fair. Like that.
Yeah.
Find like a guy. Cause if you can find a guy that can return kicks well and has good experience doing it and gets a full season under their belt of just really being that guy, like in the UFL, you can carry him on NFL roster and not put your star guys back there. You're not having Tyreek or Jalen Waddle returning punts for you. Instead you have this guy from the UFL who's proven himself and okay, let's sign him to a league minimum in the NFL and just carry my roster to return kicks and punts.
Well, I think we also see some of that. Yeah, we also have to remember that the NFL adopted the XFL's old kickoff return rules, so there will be kickoff returns this year.
Yeah,
in some way, shape, or form. So pulling guys like that would be nice. Like they were, I heard people talking the other day. Like now that rule's been adopted, you're going to see draft strategies change for some of these later rounds. To them looking for, you know, more fast, agile dudes that can be kickoff return specialists that they otherwise maybe wouldn't have drafted.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think you're going to see a lot of post UFL league signings of guys joining NFL rosters for training camp for purposes like that. Just these special utility guys, which is wild to me. The NFL adopted that because I think when they changed kickoff rules to be more safe, so people weren't flying down the field hitting each other, and now they're kind of going backwards and saying, "No, now we want kickoffs to mean more." Like,
it's okay.
Just I can decide what you want to do.
I can see it now.
But the risk factor is less because they're not running 60 yards long at each other. And it hit full each steam. Other like right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can see it now. We're going to have a kickoff return that's going to look beautiful. And then there's going to be a hip drop tackle and it's going to get brought all the way back and it won't even matter.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Other than that, I know there was one of the super challenges in the Battlehawks game where you can challenge
anything,
a penalty. You can challenge something, which I think is cool. Especially, you know, I think it's cool because, like, at the end of the game, if you have that left, grasping for straws, see something, you might be a penalty, you just throw it.
It didn't. What was it for? It didn't pan out in their favor.
It was for Michigan. A false start.
Yeah.
That the Battlehawks had that, again, didn't end up mattering because they couldn't get the ball over the fucking first down line anyway. But something like that, pretty cool. I don't know why you'd throw it on a false start. Neither here nor there.
Like you said, grasping at straws. It's kind of like a last. If you have it in your bag, might as well use it, kind of thing.
I would like to see maybe in the future something get though to where there's some sort of punishment other than losing a timeout, like you see in the NHL where you throw a challenge and you don't get it, they get a power play. You throw the challenge, you don't get it, 15-yard penalty, in that instance, first down.
Or vice versa. Now, instead of being second and 10, it's going to be second and 25 or whatever it is. If you're on offense, you lose your super challenge. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm sure they're going to continue to adopt rules. I don't think the UFL is going anywhere. I think we're going to see more than – I know this is – we've never had a spring league make it past two seasons. To me, this is XFL's second season and they're in this new iteration because basically that's what it is. I mean, it's the USFL and the XFL joined forces. They both kicked it back up last year after COVID. So if they go into 2025 and continue it, it'll be the third full season. I can fully see this happening, depending on how the rest of the year plays out. But I don't think it's going anywhere because there's such a demand for football in the United States. And I think they started at a good time this year. That was the problem with XFL in years past. They started too early, I think, like too soon after the Super Bowl. Like it was like 2 weeks after. People didn't quite miss football yet. And now we're going to get football going into middle of June, which is exciting because that's like – dead sports season. You're like in the dog, like kind of starting the dog days of baseball, you know, basketball's NBA finals might be competing with that in the NHL and Stanley Cup, but there's not a lot really going on right there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, for the football fans for sure. They might get a little bit more attention if some of the like excitement and taking chances gets a little bit bigger. I saw a lot of like even the Battlehawks game this weekend where it's just like, you know, not a whole lot of creativity, fourth and medium, just punting it every time. Like let's get this shit a little bit more excited here.
Yeah. So I think you will see what Ethan said. It was week one. I think people were trying to figure it out, you know, and I think you'll start to see coaches take more chances. But yeah, so that's our thoughts on UFL week one. Some early bets for week two. We'll be in attendance for the Battlehawks home opener. We're going to grab a drink and take a piss break, and we'll be back with some Ethan's. Oh, I fucked that up. Ethan's
extravaganza.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it normally.
We're going to have to make a fucking official jingle for that.
Sound.
100%.
All right. Before we jump into the trivia of the day, I have one piece of advice for everybody out there, and I think you two might want to chime in on this. If you're gonna borrow a Lamborghini, don't crash it and then flee the scene. Just piece of advice to everybody out there. We didn't talk about it.
Jared brought it up briefly. People are recording them walking down the highway.
Yep. Just figured we should bring it up briefly. I do not think he has turned himself in yet, like we were just talking about.
Apparently he is cooperating with local authorities.
He's cooperating with local authorities.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We're referencing Rashee Rice. If for those of you who haven't quite picked up yet.
Oh yeah, good call.
Out of the news in the last 3 days.
Do we think he sees any sort of repercussions from the league if he doesn't face any repercussions criminally?
He should.
I think regardless, he has to at least get a 3-game suspension.
Game. I was going to say four, but yeah, three or four game suspension. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he left somebody hurt, right? Like in the hospital?
A couple people went to the hospital. I mean, it wasn't crazy life-threatening, I don't think, but still.
Right.
Like, that's just, like, code of, like, conduct. Fucking player conduct policies. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
As if the Chiefs already didn't have enough receiver issues.
Well,
they got Hollywood Brown now.
That's true. That's true. Thought I'd just bring it up, though. All right. We're going to jump into this, something a little different, something that I hope those of you who are listening, it's easier to follow along to, because we talked about in the past that I have these visuals. You can't see them, obviously, if you're listening. So before I pull up the graphic that you two will at least have at your disposal, I'm going to explain what we're going to do here. I have a list of 9 celebrities who also were college athletes. I also have all of the colleges they went to and what sport they played.
Oh, fuck.
You two are going to work together to try to get all 9. You're going to have 2 strikes, so you're going to put them all together at once. I'm going to tell you how many you get right. I'll keep those up, and then you'll have another chance to fill out the board. 9 different celebrities from all different realms. I think there's only 3 sports listed because a lot of them played similar sports. I will run through, for those listening, since you can't see it, every single celebrity. And then you two will try to match them to their
school. So we got to name school and sport. Okay, gotcha.
But the sport is attached to
celebrities the school, so that not, play college like, sports.
Correct. Yes. Yep. Okay. And so you don't have to match the sport to the college. That's already done for you. You just simply have to say X celebrity went to X school and played blah blah blah. Okay. So I'm pulling it up. I'm gonna share my screen. Your celebrities, for those listening, which is everybody who's listening, is Dwayne Johnson, Terry Crews, 2 Chainz, Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty dude with the long beard, Dr. Phil, Denzel Washington, John Krasinski, Garth Brooks, and Joel McHale.
Okay.
We have to say what they played.
You have to say what school. Well, again, underneath the school listed down below has the sport that it is. So, like down below, you see Alabama State says basketball. So, the person who went to Alabama State, they played basketball. They went to Washington, they played football. Okay, I also for those who had positions listed, I listed their position. So it might even help kind of narrow it down a little.
Travis, can you hide the banner on here?
Yes, I can.
For those of you who are also for those of you, everybody, I keep saying for those of you listening, I will run off the schools really fast too, especially if for you two who may not see the logos. Alabama State, Washington University, not in St. Louis, sorry, University of Washington, Oklahoma State, Western Michigan, Brown, Louisiana Tech, Tulsa, Fordham, and Miami. You guys go through all of them.
Can you download this picture and then just pull it up as the picture?
Probably, but I wouldn't be able to move the things, but I guess I don't have to. It's not a huge deal.
No, you're good. Just scroll down because we can't see the bottom of.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Let me
shrink it a little bit. That's good. That's fine.
No, that works.
Okay, cool. Okay. All right, boys.
All right, Travis.
Obviously, Dwayne Johnson played defensive line at Miami.
Yep.
I'm not giving you any correct answers yet. You're going to fill them all out, and then I'll tell you.
Okay. Phil Robertson played quarterback at Louisiana Tech. He was the backup to Terry Bradshaw. I actually started over Terry Bradshaw for a little bit, to be honest with you. Travis, do you have another inkling here?
Here, let's go ahead and do
2 this. 2 Chainz played basketball at either Alabama State or Fordham.
I think 2 Chainz is Alabama State. I think he was Alabama State.
I'll go with that.
Yeah. 2 Chainz played basketball at Alabama State.
I'm going to say Terry Crews.
Western Michigan.
Or who played tight end at Washington?
Well, you have Dr. Phil in there. I know Dr. Phil's ass didn't play basketball, so.
But maybe through javelin at Oklahoma State.
That's got to be Krasinski or Joel McHale. I would think. It's a typical. That's a white guy being racist towards a white guy right there, saying he played fucking he threw javelin at Oklahoma State.
Terry Crews though, was he? Terry Crews was a linebacker or a tight end, obviously. But there's three footballs on here. Western Michigan linebacker, Tulsa linebacker, Washington tight end. I think Denzel played football as well.
Yeah. Denzel, to me, feels like he went to a smaller school. I know Terry Crews like could have had a football career from what I've read about him. So I'm going to
put Terry Crews at Washington?
Yeah, Terry Crews played tight end at Washington.
Without giving anything away, Terry Crews got drafted by the Rams.
Okay.
There you go. Basketball. Who got into Brown? Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Had to be Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil played basketball at Brown. I'm going to say Joel McHale threw javelin at Oklahoma State. Because I know Krasinski's kind of nice at basketball. So do we want to go ahead and say that Krasinski played basketball at Fordham?
Sure. We'll go Garth Brooks, linebacker, Tulsa, Denzel, linebacker at Western Michigan. Oklahoma, Garth Brooks, come on.
Yeah.
All right. You have.
Run through the list. Run through top to bottom.
Yep. So you have Dwayne Johnson, Miami University. That is obviously correct. I think everybody knows that by now. Terry Crews, University of Washington. 2 Chainz, Alabama State, basketball. Phil Robertson, Louisiana Tech, football. Dr. Phil Brown playing basketball. Denzel Washington playing football at Western Michigan. John Krasinski playing basketball at Fordham, Garth Brooks playing football at Tulsa, and Joel McHale throwing the javelin at Oklahoma State University. You have 3 correct.
3?
Wow.
Dwayne Johnson, 2 Chainz, and Phil Robertson. So let me pull these back down for you.
The 3 we're most confident in. Fucking Christ.
I will do this for you because it is kind of tough. You have the sport of John Krasinski, right? And that's it. Well.
Well, that gave it away. So, cool. Thanks.
And Terry Crews, obviously. But
okay. So, that means John Krasinski played basketball at Brown.
I thought I had 3 basketballs on here. I wouldn't have told you that. But, oh, well. Whatever. No. It's fine.
I would have gone that way anyway, to be honest with you. I know John because he's actually pretty nice at basketball. So Joel McHale didn't throw javelin. Joel McHale played football.
Terry Crews definitely played linebacker at Western Michigan then.
Yeah, for sure. I think Denzel might have played basketball, bro. I think Denzel might have played basketball at – well, no, because then that Joel McHale would have played football then?
Joel McHale ain't playing basketball at Fordham, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Denzel basketball at Fordham.
Oh, that's funny.
Maybe we do.
Maybe I know Dr. Phil wasn't a tight end at Washington.
He might have been back in the day, dude, because tight ends weren't tight ends back in the day. You know what I'm saying? They were just like basically glorified offensive linemen.
That's fair.
Which he's kind of got the frame for it.
We could do that. And Joel McHale, linebacker at Tulsa.
Yeah, let's do it. And then Garth Brooks, like you said, Oklahoma, javelin in Oklahoma. I can see Garth Brooks tossing a javelin. All right.
So you already had the 3 correct up top. So we now have Terry Crews, Western Michigan football. We have Dr. Phil playing tight end at Washington. Denzel playing basketball at Fordham. We already established John Krasinski was the Brown basketball player. And then Garth Brooks throwing the javelin at Oklahoma State and Joel McHale playing linebacker at Tulsa. You boys got them all but 2.
Okay.
Unfortunately, or do you want to take a final stab? Actually, it doesn't really matter because you would just flip them.
No.
You got
Garth Brooks and Joel McHale.
Nope. You got McHale and Dr. Phil backwards. Joel McHale was a tight end at University of Washington.
I knew that. I knew. I was like, Dr. Phillips strikes me as a fucking power five tight end.
And think about, and I know people who go to school don't have to be from that area, but think about what Dr. Phil sounds like. That boy is from Oklahoma through and through.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So
that's
not bad, fair. Though. Getting them all but two and two tries on some very random celebrity college ball players, I guess you should say. Yes, John Krasinski was pretty nice. It was brown, but still pretty nice. Denzel played, I believe, shooting guard, I think is what I read at Fordham back in the day. 2 Chainz was a small forward.
2 Chainz was really, really good.
He was nice with it, yes, indeed. And Garth Brooks threw the javelin.
I could definitely see that now. I know, Terry Crews got drafted. And like I said, Phil Robertson started over Terry Bradshaw at Louisiana Tech. Like, he could have gone to the NFL.
Wanted to slang some ducks instead.
Yeah.
There's a lot more. I thought we were going to – you could do a whole grid of this of just country singers and where they played college sports.
Yep. I almost threw Sam Hunt in there, but I didn't.
All those – but then you get baseball, and then that's really going to fuck me up because a lot of them played college baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. There were also just a lot of random ones. Like, I could have thrown, I don't remember what her real name is, but Ellie Kemper from The Office.
The Office. Yeah.
She played fucking field hockey at Princeton.
What?
Yeah. I was trying to think. There were some other ones that I was looking up. There was a whole list. There was like 32 of them of the article that I pulled. But these were the 9 that I was like, this feels like a comfortable amount to.
That was fun. That was a good one. I like it.
Yeah, I couldn't give it away. Travis asking me earlier, why did you want to know if we knew who Joel McHale was? I was like, no reason.
Well, I thought you were going to do something based on just him. I was like, well, I'm out. I don't know what the hell that is. All right. Awesome. Well, we got one more game left for you guys. It's one that we haven't yet done. Figure we throw some more fun stuff in there now that sports are kind of getting down to the nitty gritty. We are going to do a name that movie quote. Adam Sandler edition. So we will come with just a quote, not dialogue. So it's come from one person, movie quote. The other two get to guess the movie and the character that said it.
Or actor. Can
do so, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Or actor.
Because these are from
the other two, Sandler movie. The other person will have to drink.
Doesn't have to be Adam Sandler, specifically. Correct. It can be from an Adam Sandler movie. Okay. Who wants to go first?
All right. Jared will go first since he made the Adam Sandler.
Well, Ethan actually made it, but I decided, it's like, yeah, that's fun. So this is – obviously we're doing this because they decided to make Happy Gilmore 2 and also the Masters are coming up. So we're like, oh, okay, let's do Adam Sandler. So, okay, first one, quote is, he's losing his mind and I'm reaping all the benefits.
That is I know that. Why don't I know this character? Or I can't think of his name. Ethan, do you have anything?
No, the first thing that came to my mind, just because again, I'm really bad with quotes, but the way you said it, I was like, is it Little Nicky? But
no, it's the Wedding Singer.
Yes, it's the Wedding Singer.
Okay.
And I can't think of the actor's name. I can picture him. I'm trying to think of what else he's in so I can give Ethan a hint.
Yeah, I'm real bad at quotes.
Have you ever seen the movie Rat Race?
No.
Have you ever seen the movie Rat Race?
Fuck. No. But I've seen The Wedding Singer. Fuck.
So, first of all, someone's phone's close to the speaker.
Sorry,
because it's really steady.
He's like older. He's got a receding hairline, black hair,
kind of fat.
Okay, so it's not. The first thing that I don't even know if he's in this movie. I was thinking of. Oh my god! What now? I can't even think of his name. But little bigger, black hair, receding hairline.
Yeah.
Do you want me to give it to you?
That doesn't give me a whole lot to go on there.
John Lovitz. Movie, so. Fuck.
Wouldn't have got it.
Yep.
Right after in The Wedding Singer when he sings somebody kill me please.
I knew
he's losing his mind and I'm reaping all the benefits.
All right, I'll go. I'll go next. This might be one of my easier ones. You do not have to pay me. I will do it for free. Just promise me that you will never distribute the contents of that jug to any human person.
This is fucking Bobby Boucher. And it's Bobby Boucher himself.
Bobby Boucher, so it's going
to
be
promise me you're not Waterboy. Distribute any of the contents to any human person.
God damn it. That just shows you how not great I am with like movie quotes and like just thinking of movie stuff in general. Because I said this is Bobby Boucher and it's Bobby Boucher himself. Me thinking that the movie was called Bobby Boucher. Waterboy, yes, that's the one. Awesome. Yeah. All right. So I'll do mine.
Travis has to take a drink.
Yes.
I did. I took a big chug.
Yeah. I told Travis earlier, I said, because I'm so bad with quotes, mine are either going to be really easy or impossible. So we're going to find out. My first one is, and you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
This is from Happy Gilmore. And it's, but what's the guy's name in the movie? It's the giant guy. Fuck. Mr. Something.
It's Andre the Giant.
It's not Andre the Giant, but it's.
I know, but that's what he calls him.
I had to hit it off Frankenstein's fat foot.
I don't know. He died, though, recently, didn't he?
He did die. Fuck. His name's Mr. Something. Do not know the actor's name, but the character's name is Mr. Something because it was Happy Gilmore's boss on the construction site, and he shot him in the head with a nail gun. Doctor said I can get it out next week.
You are correct, obviously, and it is Mr. Larson.
Mr. Larson, fuck.
And that is Richard Kiel.
Fuck. All right.
Yes, I told you mine could be really easy. So we'll see how the next two are, though.
Okay, so my next one. You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
It's Ben Stiller and that's Happy Gilmore.
All right. Nice.
Did she say we were doing laundry? Because where I come from, it's called doing the hibbity dibbity.
That's from Big Daddy. And that's Adam Sandler's character in Big Daddy.
Damn it.
The hibbity dibbity. Man. All right. Well, good shit, boys. All right. Well, I'll do my second one then, I guess. We'll just fly through these bad boys. And by the way, alligators are ornery because of their medulla oblongata.
Come on.
That's water. Colonel. That's water boy. Wait. Yeah.
It's water boy, but Bob Boucher says it. No. It's Colonel. No.
Colonel Sanders says
it. And by the way, alligators are ornery because of their medulla oblongata.
Well, yeah, Bob Boucher says that at the end.
Yes, it is Bobby Boucher. That quote specifically is Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. Alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush. That's what he... Mama says, alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
Yeah, I feel like Ethan went a little bit of the easier route.
Yeah. All right.
Hopefully I didn't want to make them impossible. I don't know.
This one's tough. This one's probably my toughest one. Damn you. You give him all the easy ones.
This is the delivery man from Big Daddy.
Yeah, but who plays the delivery man?
He's in all his movies. He's fucking all of them. Fucking Snake Eyes and Mr. Deeds.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not.
Snake Eyes. Oh, he's not. He's not. That's a homeless man.
Yeah.
What is that guy's name?
He's a big actor all himself.
I don't know.
I'll take a swig because you said Delivery Man, but if Ethan can get it.
He's in all of his movies. Bigger actor himself.
Have you seen Big Daddy?
Yes, I have. But again, bad with Delivery Man. Bad with movie memory.
Not the guy that brings the food to him and he hangs out with him and he's fucking sitting there and he's got the tuna on his lip.
It's
fucking, what is his goddamn name though? Because he also is, am I wrong? He's not the We Suck Again guy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Fuck. We Suck Again. What is his name, bro? Because he's in fucking Grown Ups. He's in fucking.
Yep.
God.
His name
is. What is the letter it starts with? I might be able to
pull R. It. R.
No, because my mind immediately went to Richard Dreyfuss for some reason.
It's Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
All right. Well, we didn't get the whole chocolate bar, but we got a Hershey's Kiss.
Oh, you might have got me this one. The whole chocolate bar. We got a Hershey's Kiss. That's not from Big Daddy It too, is it?
I can't give you hints. You guys got to make a final guess.
I mean, I'm hopeless on these games, so I don't even know why I recommended it. Because I go over. We got a Hershey's Kiss.
I'm going to go with Big Daddy. But no, because you already had a Big Daddy quote, and I don't think you'd do two of them. You already had a Big Daddy quote, didn't you, Travis?
I did.
It's not the longest yard, is it?
It might be the longest yard. Might be Paul Crew, longest yard. Let's go with that.
Deal. I'll lock it in.
It's Chris Rock, longest yard.
Ah, fuck.
Talking about Nelly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Here's my last one. Probably also easy like the other two, but we'll see. Says, whatever your pleasure, I can facilitate. You need weed. You need meth. You need Prozac. I'm your man.
Gotta be Uncut Gems. No.
Jared?
That's Chris Rock from the longest yard too.
Ah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I was just thinking something's not so funny.
I tried Caretaker. To not give it away because when yours was literally just Chris Rock from the longest yard, I was like, fuck, he's going to know this immediately.
Yeah. I'll do you one better. His name's Caretaker in the movie.
It is Caretaker. It is, yes.
Caretaker.
Yep.
I could have finished the quote, but it was so long. Cause after that, then he says, I'm your man. I know how you white boys always deal with that depression. I mean, me personally, I don't understand what you white boys are all depressed about. You're white.
You're white. Smile.
I can't believe.
Oh, shit.
Some great movies.
Yes.
Indeed. And maybe one of these days I'll get better at remembering quotes from said movies, but
maybe so. Probably not. I've had to guess.
All right. We had to throw a couple games your way. And if you're listening and you'd like us to do a game or think something might be fun, let us know. If you're friends with us, send us a text. If you're not friends with us, send us a DM. We're all ears.
Yep. Absolutely. I can only come up with so many things.
I know. It's tough. We got a lot, and we're going to have to keep doing some games over the next few months. So get ready. Strap in, boys and girls. Till then, that's it for this week, unless you guys got anything.
Nope. I mean, we got what, draft in 3 weeks, technically?
Yep.
That's when the episode will be? Well, the Sunday of...
We're going to have to
draft in 2 weeks.
We're going to have to talk about scheduling on that because we'll talk about it, but we'll definitely have the draft episode.
Absolutely. Cool. So we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace out, brother.